In 1 John, if you'd look there, the 4th chapter, when I've been with you, we've been on this series that we're calling Try the Spirits. And in 1 John 4, this is our passage where we got that phrase, 1 John 4:1. He said, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God." And what he's saying by that is test the spirits. That word tries can be translated prove, examine, test the spirits, whether they're of God, because many false prophets are going out into the world. One of the things that the church is very ignorant of is spiritual things. You know, in 1 Corinthians, he said, I would not have you ignorant concerning spiritual things. And when the Lord says that, why would he say it? Because folks are ignorant of spiritual things. And one of the first basic realities is that there is another realm besides this material realm. Another dimension. And you yourself and myself, we are not just physical beings. We are spirit beings. Right now, you're looking at me through those two windows we call eyes. I see the house you live in, your body, but that's not you. You're on the inside. And even when your body dies, that's not the end of you. You just leave that house. You will not turn into something else. You won't turn into an angel. That'd be a demotion. You're a child of God. You're a son of God. That's male and female. And so, you are a spirit being. God is spirit. He's called the Father of spirits. Angels are spirits. The Holy Spirit is obviously spirit. And there's another group of spirits who are not good. The devil and demons and evil spirits. Now, Hollywood has portrayed demons as monsters. And that's not surprising, because the devil wants you to be scared of him and this whole realm. And so because of that, people have a tendency to just deny the whole thing, because they don't like thinking that there are beings you can't see. That's scary to people. But when you know the truth makes you free. And the truth is, there are these beings, but the greater one lives inside of you and me as born-again believers. And we have authority over these spirits. And in fact, the Bible says if we will resist the devil, he will run from us. He will flee from us. Well, that's not the monsters that Hollywood's portraying. So you got fiction and you got truth. You got reality. But here we're told, don't believe everything you hear. And don't believe everybody that's supposed to have a revelation or every dream or every prophecy. He mentioned prophets that were false. And they're speaking by wrong spirits. And so he said, test them. Prove them. And so my next question, we've talked about that. If this is your first time to be with us on this series, we've already covered quite a bit of ground. Go online and it's all there available. It won't cost you anything. Get caught up with us. But we're getting into now the practical application of how Can I tell which one is which? Anybody interested in this? How do I do this? Prove, test, try the spirits whether they are of God. How do I do this? So go ahead, say it out loud. Father God, teach me. Show me how to do what you told me to do in trying the spirits whether they are of God. Ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We know it's His will because He told us to do it, right? Now, we saw in 1 John, you're there in the 4th chapter. Just look over to 5th chapter, just probably next page or something really close. And verse 19, he says, 1 John 5:19, we know that we are of God, and the whole world lies in wickedness. The whole world, another translation says, the whole world is under the control of the evil one. The Living Bible says, we are children of God, and all the rest of the world around us is under Satan's power and control. Is that true or not? Is it scripture? So then, if it's all under, all this world is under Satan's power and control, then is God controlling everything down here? See, this is one of the biggest errors and mistakes that you will hear, even preached across pulpits. People are adamant God is in control. Well, it depends on what you mean by that. If you mean that God has a plan and ultimately that plan will be fulfilled, then yes. But if you're talking about that He is controlling everybody and everything on the planet, absolutely not. In fact, the scripture says, 2 Corinthians 4:4, calls Satan the god of this world. Jesus referred to him as the prince of this world, and that's what the scripture says. And so all unsaved people are more or less dominated and controlled by wrong spirits. They don't know it. They don't believe it. They don't even realize what's going on, but that is the fact. That is the truth. And even Christians, if they don't know who they are, and they're not walking in the light and truth, they'll be influenced by darkness as well. Shouldn't be, don't have to be, but can be. Am I quoting scriptures? Am I? So that's what he said, that Holman says it this way, we're of God, and the whole world is under the sway of the evil one. Now, go to 2 Corinthians, please. 2 Corinthians. I'm excited about this. Why would I be excited about it? What do you think? Oh, because we are finding out some things, and the truth will make you free, right? And faith life people are going to be hard for the devil to do anything with. Yeah. 2 Corinthians, thank you, Lord. Let's see, I'm moving too quick here. There's something that we have not taken seriously enough. And it's just this one thing that we'll call it thoughts. Everybody say thoughts. 2 Corinthians 2:11. Thoughts. Say it again, thoughts. What are thoughts? Have you ever thought about what a thought is? I want you to. get serious about this for just a moment. Have you ever had any thoughts?
Yes.
You have them all the time. What are they? What is a thought? You'll hear people say, well, you know, I don't believe in all this, you know, hocus pocus stuff, this, you know, other dimension, can't see it. Well, can you see a thought? Huh? Can you touch a thought? What's a thought? A thought is spiritual. It's a spiritual thing. It's a concept. It's an idea. And a thought can be accompanied with imagery and feelings.
Yeah. Yes.
All kinds of stuff go on in between people's ears. Huh? I mean, stuff goes on up here. Right? Okay, but what is a thought? What is it? Is it nothing? No, think about this. Anybody come to church in a vehicle, a car, truck? Before that car could be driven, you know what it was?
Thought.
It was a thought.
That's right.
Before the engine existed, before the electronics existed, before a wheel, a tire, paint, right?
Yeah.
Anything, it was a thought. The seat you're sitting on, it was a thought. And then it was a design.
Yeah.
And that's how it became what it is now. Before there was an earth, God had a thought. Oh, hallelujah. Before there was a human being, God had a thought. And like the psalmist said, how precious are your thoughts to me? God's thoughts are beyond price, valuable. God's thoughts are light and life and joy and peace and knowledge and understanding and wisdom and strength. God's thoughts. Hallelujah. Where can you find some God thoughts? Anybody? Man, we got a book full of them. Full of God thoughts.
Thank you, Lord.
And the Holy Spirit is the one who inspired these words. And you know, that's why that it's not just about the language. You know, Jesus didn't speak English. Nor any of the apostles. So we're reading English, most of us. But what's the deal? The word, the letters that form a word, just make a container. And the container is only good if it conveys the right thought. And that's why if you get the right word in English that conveyed the same thought that was in Aramaic or Hebrew or Greek, well, then you got the thought. You got it. And like Brother Smith Wigglesworth, you ever heard of him years ago? A powerful signs and wonders ministry, but he was a plumber and had no formal education. His wife had to teach him how to write his name. And so eventually he was able to write some, and he wrote a fellow minister a letter. And when he saw the minister, he said, Brother Smith, did you realize you spelled Holy Spirit seven different ways in that letter? He said, but did you understand? He said, well, yeah. He said, that's all. So the big deal is when you're reading God's word, did you get the thought?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. Don't get hung up on going down too deep a rabbit hole of, you know, Hebrew and Greek definitions and that kind of thing. Did you get the thought? The thought that came from God, that came from heaven.
Yeah.
Well, there's other thoughts that come from other places.
Yeah.
that are not good.
Right?
Not good. And that's what he's telling us to do when he says try the spirits. Well, how do the spirits endeavor to influence? Always through thoughts. Always with everybody. That's how it works. And notice this in 2 Corinthians 2:11. He said, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, which means he could, but he doesn't have to and shouldn't. For we are not what?
Ignorant
of his devices. And us being ignorant of that is how he would get an advantage over us. But knowing the truth would make us free from him having an advantage. We're not ignorant of his devices. The word devices here is the word for thoughts. Is that interesting or is that interesting? Huh? Why they translated it devices right here, I'm not sure. But the same word is like four or five other times in the same book of 2 Corinthians, that book, same word translated either thought or mind. That's what the word means. So it actually, in my mind, would be more accurate to say we're not ignorant of his thoughts or of his mind attacks. I'd say it like that. Thoughts, attacks, and you know, technically that is a device, but specifically the word is mind or thought. Really thought is what it is. Let me read some others to you. We'll do a little bit of a word study. I mean, you could do it yourself, but I've already done it, so 2 Corinthians 3:13. 2 Corinthians 3:13 says their minds were blinded. The word minds here is the same word translated devices in that other verse. 2 Corinthians 4:4. In whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, the image of God, should shine to them. The same word translated devices in chapter 2 is the one translated minds. Blinded the minds. And this one, then this is so clear. The 10th chapter of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 10:4. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. That means fleshy. Are material, but they are real and they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And the strongholds he's talking about, he tells you in the very next verse. What stronghold? Casting down imaginations. Imaginations. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought. That's the same word thought that's translated devices. Not ignorant of his devices. Do you see why I'm taking some time on this? How does the enemy attack you? Thoughts. Every time. Thoughts. And that's why it's our responsibility when a thought comes to examine it. And be asking ourselves all the time, where did that come from? Huh? Because so many things, they're obvious. You're just bopping along, doing your thing, and here comes this crazy thought out of the wild blue yonder. You know what I mean? You weren't thinking about that. You weren't looking at that. Boom, there's a thought. And so many times, Christians will immediately get in condemnation about it. Because the enemy, that's the sorry cuss that he is. He brings you a stinking thought, and then he tries to condemn you for thinking it. He's the one brought it to you. But if you don't know what's going on, you'll just let him play you. Like a rented banjo. Yeah. This is Branson. People should understand.
That's right.
Rented banjo. What will you do with a rented banjo? You're not going to take care of it. You're going to beat on it like you. Anyway. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Say it out loud. Every thought.
Every thought.
Brought captive.
Captive.
Every thought. Do you see why I say we have not taken thoughts seriously enough? Almost everyone has just not realized that that's, thoughts are spiritual and they come from places. Thoughts of God come from God and they are wonderful. And when you're in a situation and you need an answer and you need help, you need a word from God. Why was the word of God help you so much? Because the thought of God is in the word that came to you. So what you're really wanting is God's thought about it. And when you know his thought about it, you got your answer. I mean, the pressure comes off. You know what to do. You know what to say. You know what to believe. Whatever the situation, you need the thoughts from God about the situation. But the enemy is attacking you every day of your life. I know that's not pretty. It's not nice to hear. But he, every day of your life, is he has spirits assigned to bring against you wrong thoughts. And they're very crafty in the way that they do it. They don't do it obviously. And what they want to do is for you not to even believe they exist. That they bring wrong thoughts to you. And then you think, well, how did I come up with that? You didn't. The enemy brought it to you from the outside.
That's good. That's good.
Brother Hagin, my father in the faith, used to say this. He said, even the most holy saint of God has found at times thoughts and feelings that were ungodly and that were not right. Well, that doesn't mean that you're a bad person and you came up with it. The devil will try to convince you of that, but you need to realize, no, that thought didn't come out from the midst of me. That thought didn't come from the Holy Spirit. Yeah. We didn't come up with that on our own. The enemy brought it to you from the outside, trying to get you to accept it and meditate on it and talk it, because that's how thoughts become actions. And so Brother Hagin used to say, he said, you thoughts are like a bird flying over your head. He said, you can't prevent a bird from flying over your head, but you can prevent them from building a nest in your hair. Right? And so a wrong thought, you can't prevent a wrong thought from coming to you from the outside. But what you can do is say, no, I resist that. I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to do that. Get behind me. Satan, I resist you. Leave me. No, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to accept that. And that's what we're talking about, trying the spirits. How do they come? How do they influence through thoughts? Now go with me, if you would, to Matthew, the 6th chapter. Actually, it's the 7th chapter. For time's sake, let's just do that. Matthew 7 and verse 15. Now, what he had said in our text, try the spirits, whether they're of God or not, because there's many false prophets that have gone out. And here he starts off in verse 15, beware of what? False prophets. Well, what these false prophets are going to be speaking by a wrong spirit. And here's the thing that confuses a lot of people. It's spiritual and it's real, but it's not God. Just because something is spiritual and real, that does not make it God. Beware, he said, And when the Lord says beware of something, I mean watch out for it. They'll come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Keep going, verse 16. You will know them by their fruits. How can I tell what kind of spirit it is? Right here. This is it. Now, there is a manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit called discernings of spirits. And ministries like the apostles' ministry and the prophets' ministry, and it could be, it could happen for any believer, the Lord could give a person discerning of spirits, and that would allow you to actually see into the realm of spirits, see and are here. And there are those who have. That's not common. And you could go decades and not have it happen. You could go your whole life and not have some of these things happen. It wouldn't mean you're unspiritual. These things are not given for everybody, for everything. And you don't want to seek them trying to see things. Because remember, the enemy can accommodate. And to try to trick you and try to fool you. And some of these things, a visitation, a revelation, these are responsibilities. And you'll see sometimes, like my father in the faith, Kenneth Hagin, who's ministered to a lot of you, he had more than one visitation, but those things were not just for him. They're for the body of Christ. And they are multi-generational, and it was a responsibility for him to communicate it and do it right and do it, you know, faithfully. So there is the discerning of spirits. And he described how that he saw spirits. And sometimes people hear that and they get infatuated with that idea and sometimes try to do that. That's a mistake.
Yeah.
Trying to see something, trying to hear something, trying to feel something, people have really opened the door to the enemy in doing that kind of thing. But you do want to say, Lord, any of the gifts and manifestations of the Spirit that would help us, right? That you would give us in any situation. I'm open. I'm yielded to you. And these things happen. And it's His will that more of them happen. But I said all that to say this. You don't have to have discerning of spirits to detect what spirit it is. Or that there is a spirit operating and what kind it is. You don't have to see anything. You don't have to hear anything. Because by their fruits. Oh, come on, you're with me or not? By their fruits, you will know them. This is a good word. I said, this is a good word. You can tell. The Holy Spirit, you know, take the word fruits. The fruit is what is produced. We also use the word produce. Right? Fruit is what is produced. Also, fruit is result. The fruit of something is the result of something. And you can tell a source by what it produces.
That's good.
Huh? You can tell where it came from by the results.
Hmm?
And the Holy Spirit produces holy fruit.
Amen.
Is that right?
Yes,
holy fruit. Well, evil spirits don't produce good fruit or holy fruit. They produce evil fruit, bad fruit. And like I said, you don't have to have a discerning of spirits. A lying spirit is going to influence what?
Lying.
Do you have to have discerning of spirits to know that that was a lying spirit trying to influence some? What a lying spirit is going to try to influence you to do what?
Lie.
Unclean spirits. I mean, we get into this maybe a little bit later, but the Bible describes different kinds. And they are influencing human beings to yield to them. And when people yield to wrong spirits, they take on the characteristics of that wrong spirit. And you can tell what spirits are active and influencing by the results, by the fruit of it. On the other hand, if you yield to the Holy Spirit, oh, come on, you yield to the Holy Spirit, there will be holy fruit, holy results. And you can tell by what's coming out, what's resulting, what's being produced. Yeah, that's the Holy Spirit, right? So he said, by their fruits, you will know them. You'll know them by their fruits. Verse 16, do men gather grapes of thorns? Are figs of thistles? The answer is no. So every good tree brings forth good fruit. But a corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit. And in case you didn't get that, verse 18, a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Wrong spirits cannot bless. They cannot bless. They cannot deliver. They cannot heal. I said they cannot heal. They cannot heal. They cannot do good. They don't have it in them. They have no resources of that. But the Holy Spirit, hallelujah, all of his manifestations are good. He said, every tree that brings not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. That's the end of every wrong thing. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. I want to hear you say that out loud. By their fruits, you will know them. One translation says, you will clearly recognize them. By what? What's a fruit? What's produced? What results? Right? What's produced? What's results? We're making good progress this morning.
Amen.
Y'all okay?
Yes.
Go to Galatians, please. The 5th chapter. Now the enemy works through the flesh. Just because it's spiritual doesn't mean there's no flesh involved. Flesh is influenced. Flesh is affected by spiritual influence. Thoughts. Whew. You ever had thoughts?
Yes, sir.
Huh?
Yes, sir.
Were they all wonderful and good? No, they were not. They were not. And sadly, so many people don't realize, they're clueless as to where these thoughts are coming from. And sometimes people are going along, they're making it pretty good, and then all at once they go, man, I just started feeling bad, and I don't know why. And I just started thinking about what old so-and-so did to me, and it just makes me so mad. And, well, where did that come from out of the blue?
Yeah.
You were doing something that, come on, you see what I'm talking about? The enemy is trying to stir up in you anger, unforgiveness, resentment, hatred. Come on, can you see this? And what should you do with that? If you think about it for a while, you know what's going to happen? It's going to come out of your mouth. If you think about it long enough, next thing you know, it'll come out of your mouth. Yeah, I was just thinking about how that old heifer treated me. Does that sound godly?
No.
Was that one of God's thoughts that came to you? No, it was not. So why are you meditating on it? Why are you sitting around thinking about it? Let's see. Galatians, the 5th chapter, are you there? He said, verse 13, brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh or to be selfish, but by love serve one another. Love is unselfish. Verse 14, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you'll love your neighbor as yourself. So thoughts that come to you, don't make a big deal out of it. Forgive them.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Pray for them. Where'd that thought come from?
The Lord.
You see the fruit of it?
Yeah.
See the result of it? So verse 16, this I say then refers to what he just got through talking about. Walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We're not supposed to focus on not yielding to the flesh. We're supposed to focus on walking in the Spirit, which is yielding to the Holy Spirit. Come on, y'all with me? And if you get occupied with that, you won't yield to the flesh. It's not a matter of just not doing something and creating a vacuum. It's replacing one thing with another. He said, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Now, when we've heard this maybe in times past, we're thinking flesh is not spiritual, and Spirit is spiritual. Well, technically, yes, but spiritual influences affect the flesh. Against the Holy Spirit's influence of the Spirit. So even though he's saying flesh and Spirit, another way of saying is wrong spiritual influence against right spiritual influence. Right spiritual influence through the Spirit, wrong spiritual influence through the flesh. Are y'all with me? Can you see this? And so he says, if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. People say, well, do we have to keep the Ten Commandments nowadays? If you're led by the Spirit, you will keep the Ten Commandments without specifically trying to keep the Ten Commandments. Huh? Because if you're tempted to lie, if you're tempted to steal, to commit adultery, to commit murder, the Holy Spirit will lead you to resist that. Right? And so if you are led by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit's not going to lead you to commit adultery. The Holy Spirit's not going to lead you to lie about somebody or steal from somebody ever or murder somebody or take the Lord's name in vain or any of the things that the Ten Commandments reveal. If you're led by the Spirit, you will keep the Ten Commandments without specifically trying to keep the Ten Commandments. That's what he's saying. Verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. Let me skip down a little bit. Verse 22, he contrasts what he's about to say here in verse 19. Verse 22, but the what? Fruit of the Spirit. So what he's saying in verse 19 is the fruit of the flesh. Can you see? The results are what is produced. But notice some of the works of the flesh. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry. Now that sounds kind of spiritual. Idolatry. Witchcraft. Now when you say witchcraft, people don't tend to think fleshy. What do they think? Spiritual. Well, it is. But it's both. It's spiritual influences on the flesh. It works the same way as adultery. Also, hatred, variance, emulations or jealousies and envies, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, anything that brings thoughts and feelings to you to move you to do any of these things, you don't have to have discerning of spirits. Right? To know where this is coming from. Right? This is coming from the enemy of your soul. Wrong spirits are trying to influence you through your flesh. Spiritual influence, yes, a work of the flesh, but it's a spiritual influence against the flesh. Wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. Keep going. Envyings, murders. I mean, if these thoughts just keep coming to you, take them out. They're your problem. They're standing in your way. They're making your life miserable. Take them out. Did that come from the Holy Spirit? Never. Where'd that come from? You don't have to see a spirit, but there is a spirit there. I said there's a spirit there that brings those thoughts to you and those feelings, and you can tell when it is so persistent. It just keeps on coming against you over and over and over. See, that's not even natural. Why does that just keep coming to you and bothering you and hindering you and harassing you? It's time for you to open your mouth and use your authority. Oh, come on, in the name of Jesus, and say, shut up and get out of here in Jesus' name. No, I am not going to murder anybody. No, leave me. And the Bible said, if you resist him, what will he do? He'll flee. Now, that doesn't mean he'll never come back. Wish I could tell you that he won't, but they will. But you just do the same thing again, right? And you never give in, and you never just sit there and meditate on it until you start thinking about how to do it. See, this is how terrible things get done. So then he says in verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is what? Holy Spirit produces holy fruit, holy results. The Spirit of God is going to prompt you from the inside to do what? Love. That's not just a feeling now. That's a choice. It's an act. You can treat people like you love them when you don't feel like it at all. That's faith. Joy. The enemy has no joy, so he can't influence you with joy. Joy. Hallelujah. When joy is influencing you, you know where that's from. You don't have to see the Holy Spirit to know that's from the Holy Spirit. Peace. Hallelujah. Long suffering. When your flesh is getting antsy and impatient, and the Holy Spirit comes up on the inside of you and says, just relax. Huh? Have some perseverance. Keep believing God. It'll change. Gentleness. Huh? When you feel like just blaring in and talking too loud, and the Holy Spirit pulls you back a little bit and says, shh, shh, calm down. Come down. A wrong spirit will go on, cuss them out, cuss them out. They deserve it. Cuss them out. Are you getting the picture of what I'm talking about? There's another realm. It's all around us. It's going on all the time. Most people don't even acknowledge it or realize it. But wrong spirits are trying to influence and sadly are being very successful at influencing human beings all over the planet, including some Christians. But thank God the Holy Spirit who lives inside of us is endeavoring to influence us every day. And if we will yield to Him, He will bring to us thoughts and grace, revelation, ability to love, to have joy, to have peace, to have long suffering and patience. Can you see these things? Oh, somebody say, thank you, Lord, for the fruit of the Spirit. Verse 24 says, they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. This is why we have to crucify the flesh, to prevent yielding to wrong spirits who are trying to influence the flesh. Can you see this? That's why we got to get a hold of ourselves and go, no, no, stop it. Quit. No. And if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. We are alive spiritually now that we've been born again. The Holy Spirit lives within us. Let Him influence you.
Yes.
And let your walk and your life and the way you talk and think and operate be expressing His influences over you. Have you got another minute or two here? Go over to Ephesians. Now, there's a lot more to be seen here, but we'll let that simmer for a little bit, right?
Yes, sir.
We poured in the ingredients and stirred it. Let her cook now for a bit. Ephesians. Thank you, Lord. In Ephesians, the fourth chapter, he said, verse 17, I say therefore, Ephesians 4:17, testify in the Lord that you henceforth from now on don't walk as other Gentiles walk in the what? Vanity of their mind. The mind is the battlefield. That's where all the spiritual conflicts taking place. It's the mind. He said, they have the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Is that the result of influences by wrong spirits?
Yes.
It is. But you have not so learned Christ. You didn't learn any of that from the Lord. If so be you have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off, everybody say put off.
Put off,
resist, don't let it in, don't give place to it, don't yield to it. Put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, the way you used to be before you got saved, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Everybody say mind. Sit out, put your hand on the side of your head. Say, my mind is my mind.
No wrong spirit
can force me to think things I choose not to. And I have the anointed mind. I have the mind of Christ. Glory to God. Glory to God. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Keep going. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. What fruit is that? That's fruit of the Holy Spirit. Everything that's right, everything that's good, everything that's clean, everything that's holy. That fruit comes from the Holy Spirit. Verse 25. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. Now, this is writing to the church at Ephesus who were tongue talkers and had the gifts of the Spirit operating in there. That's how they got started. Reading the book of Acts, if you read about where they got born again at Ephesus, that they got filled with the Spirit. That's how their group got started. And would you need, though, to write to a tongue talking church and tell them to quit lying? He did. I said he did. Verse 26. Be angry, but what? Don't sin. And what else? Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Now, did you see back in Galatians that part of what he was calling the works of the flesh, wrath was one of them? Right? Wrath. Verse 27. Neither, what? Give place or allow room or allow access to the devil. Why would you need to be told that? Because he's pushing on you, trying to get you to lie. He goes on past this talking about stealing. Verse 28, let him that stole steal no more. Well, who's trying to influence you to steal? Who's trying to influence you to lie? Who's trying to influence you to get in a rage? Now listen, friends, there's no situation where it's okay for us to yield to any of these things to any measure or degree.
That's right.
How did the enemy get Cain to a place where he murdered his own brother? See, God warned him. He said, sin's at the door. I'm going to paraphrase it. If you don't get a hold of this, it'll rule you. And he didn't listen to God. And he just fumed and let those spirits sit on him and let them feed lies. He's your problem. He made you look bad. He did it on purpose. As long as he's around doing this, they'll never accept you. You'll never have a place. He's holding you back. All these things until he got to the place where he wasn't just thinking about it. He did it. Murdered his own brother, and it was a rage. You know, his countenance was fallen, and the Lord basically asked him, why are you so mad? Why are you so upset? He didn't have a justifiable reason to be. He's the one that messed up. Abel had nothing to do with him messing up. You don't want to yield to any of these things anywhere at any time, because the more you yield to it, the more you give place to it, the worse it'll get.
Yeah, that's right.
Anger.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Huh? How about anger?
Yeah.
Is the Holy Spirit moving on you to get mad and to pitch a fit? Is it okay, though, if you're just by yourself and you're going down the road and somebody did something stupid and cut you off? Is it okay to yell? Because nobody can hear you. To yell and go, you stupid idiot! You stupid idiot! Is that okay? Huh? Well, nobody hears you. Not true. You got angels riding with you? And they're putting their fingers in the ear. Good old man. The Holy Spirit's riding on the inside of you. He's good. Huh? God sees and hears everything. And what's bad too is the spirits that are pushing you to go into a rage. They're enjoying that you're yielding to them and saying what they're prompting you to say. Huh? It's not okay to cuss the TV during a game. Huh? It's not okay to yield to frustration and anger. Now, if you want to shout for your team and go, run, run, do it, yay, that's fine. But if you want to yell and scream, what's wrong with you? You stupid, it was right there. You're yielding. Come on now. It doesn't matter if you spoke in tongues that morning. You're yielding to a wrong thing. And the more you yield to it, the more place you'll give to it, the worse it'll get. And the thing is, if you keep yielding to it, it's right there under the surface. And if somebody pushes you too much, it'll come out. Huh? At home? You know, I had a pastor one time tell me. He said, well, I think God gave us our spouse to unload on so we wouldn't do it with other people? I said, no.
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 Somebody says, well, sometimes, you know, you gotta let it out. No, you don't let it in.
That's right.
Oh, come on, y'all with me or not? You don't let it in. When it tries to get in, you don't let it come in and yield to it and rant and rave and fuss and cuss and then imagine that it's not going to affect you some other way in place. You stop it at the door. You grab that thought and you cast it down. Right? Is that right? You take every thought. You say, no, I'm not doing that. That's not how I operate. If it's not from God, I don't want it. This is a wrong influence.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yes.
Moving me to anger.
Yes.
Moving me to lie or to exaggerate or to leave a wrong impression or hide. That'll never come from the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
That's a wrong spirit. Right? Dealing with me to hurt somebody, get back at somebody. That's a wrong spirit that brought that to you. You didn't just come up with that all on your own. A wrong spirit. And if you yield to it a little bit, then he's going to bring you all kind of ways how to do it and try to show you devilish wisdom, how to get away with it. No, you don't let it out. You don't let it in. He said, verse 27, said out loud, neither give place to the devil. He went on to say, let him that stole steal no more. Let him labor, working with his hands, the thing that's good that he may have to give to him that needs. Instead of stealing, become a giver. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. There's all kind of words. Maybe they're not just cuss words. Maybe they're not practicing witchcraft or idolatry, but they're corrupt. They're not a good thing. That word, that idea, that phrase. Have you ever heard Christians use phrases and you just kind of cringed and thought, man, that's like a worldly phrase, right? You don't need to use that. Everybody say corrupt communication. He said, don't let that come out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. And what? Grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby you are sealed to the day of redemption. And then, see, this sounds like what he was saying in Galatians. It's the same Holy Spirit. Let all bitterness and wrath, that's rage, and anger. See, he uses two words. Rage is this full-blown fury, but then anger is just being mad about something. He uses both of them. Anger, wrath, clamor, evil speaking, let it be put away from you with all malice, because wrong spirits are trying to influence you to do that. But you be kind one to another. The enemy never tried to influence you to be kind. And to be tender-hearted, oh no, no, no wrong spirit will ever try to influence you to be tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Oh, no, they will never. So what kind of fruit is this? Being kind, being tender-hearted, forgiving people. That's the Holy Spirit. That's holy fruit from the Holy Spirit who lives inside you 24/7. And when that thought came to you, no, don't hold that against them. You don't even know what they see and know and what's going on in their life. Forgive them by faith. That came from the Holy Spirit. That was a holy thought from the Holy Spirit. Right? And to be tender-hearted and to be kind. And you can be kind when you are all worked up to be hard. This has happened to me numerous times, that something happened that really, really was not good. And it rubbed me the wrong way. And I was ready to talk to somebody in a real straight way. Maybe let them go. Some things are serious. And I got in there, and all that would come out was kindness. And my head was going, no, but you're mad. Shut up. Huh? And then there's other times that it didn't seem like it was that big a deal, and the Spirit of God had prompted me, be stronger about it. We need to be spiritual people, not just controlled by our feelings or by our, come on, can you see this? By our emotions and any just any thought or feeling that comes to us, we don't just go and yield that. We go, where did this thought come from? Where did this feeling come from? And then we're checking on the inside, what's the Holy Spirit influencing me to do? And I'm choosing to yield to Him. Can you say amen? Stand on your feet, everybody. Oh, praise God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father.
This ministry has been brought to you today, free of charge, by the partners of More Life Ministries and Faith Life Church. If you would like to help send this word to others at no charge, you can become a word sender today. For more information, visit our website at morelife.org.